Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm T2, and I support GenX Grownup through Patreon because they're super gentle to my wires and boards. I think you should, too. Go to patreon.com/GenXGrownup.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
GenX Grownup is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to episode 121 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
Of course, you know that George is here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
In this episode, we watch the nostalgic new Netflix film that slightly reimagines NASA's mission to the moon, find out if New Wave Toys' latest gadget does justice to the arcade classic Q-Bert, and discuss the Puzzle a Day game that's sweeping the internet and social media. Before we get into those topics and many more, though, it is time for my favorite part of the show, Fourth Listener Email. It's called such because there's myself and George and Mo. That's three of us. We know we'll listen if anybody else does, and they take time to write in. You must be the fourth listener. And our fourth listener this time around is Doug. Doug actually wrote us on our website, genxgrownup.com, the article from a recent podcast episode. Doug wrote in and said, listening to the cast now, and I want to add something to your car radio conversation. So he's talking about the Boss radio that I put in my daughter's car.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes,
just
yes.
Just one or two episodes ago. Yeah, very recent.
Yeah.
He says, as someone that likes his older vehicles, driving a 2006 car, have a 2005 truck, and an 84 collector that was my son's, I feel it's my duty to point you to Grom Audio, G-R-O-M, Grom Audio.
All right. Okay.
Absolutely a lifesaver for someone that lives on Pandora. Connects through the CD changer port in the radio and poof, Bluetooth with steering wheel controls and no changing the stock radio. Love it.
Huh. I'm curious how that works.
Well, I took a look.
Okay.
When I saw this come in, I took a look at the Grom Audio stuff on Amazon. And it's not cheap, at least stuff that I could find.
Really?
When I went and looked, I saw prices that were in the $100 range for a lot of these. So I'm like, okay, that's cheaper than the radio replacement that you did, John.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It definitely helps with the problem of Bluetooth and in your car and all like that. It's still not as cheap a solution if I'm going to not put a new radio in my car, for me personally. But it's a good idea for a lot of people, I think. It looked like from some of the descriptions in the pictures, you kind of have to pull the radio out and plug the thing in the back and stuff. So you do have to do some mechanical work, I guess. But
yeah, okay. And at $100 or so, like, it's not going to give you Apple CarPlay or Android Auto or anything. It just adds those inputs kind of like. So.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of a halfway step, maybe, as you said, without having to replace the car radio at all. Yeah. So that could be cool. Yeah.
It's like a plug-in Bluetooth receiver, essentially.
Well, thank you, Doug. We appreciate the advice. And we'll put a link down in our show notes to Grom Audio if anybody wants to explore it. We appreciate that you wrote in. We love it every time the fourth listener writes in. You want your email feature here on the show? It's easy. You can contact us on our website like Doug did, or hit us up at our email address, podcast@genxgrownup.com. I read every single one, and most of them, like Doug's, will eventually make the show. And now, before we get into the meat of the show, I want to take just a second. We're recording this mid-April, just a couple weeks after we dropped our April Fools episode to the unsuspecting public in our feed.
Talk about that now?
Yeah.
I got to come clean. I thought we already did that in the episode.
Well, we did. Unfortunately, what we found out is if you don't make it to the end of the episode, you just think we're a stupid podcast, as I predicted.
Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, that's not wrong.
Exactly. But, I was like,
yeah, we had one of our friends over at Discord had shared our podcast with a friend on social, Facebook or somewhere. And he shared the screen capture of where they came back and went, yeah, I listened to it. They were talking about toothbrushes and zip ties. It's ridiculous. I can't possibly listen to this.
Oh, my God. One, I'm surprised they thought that was, I mean, George is thinking of toothbrushes. I mean, really?
Yeah.
That should have given, you'd think they would have picked up on the clues there, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I predicted in the show, I'm like, if anybody listens to this first, they're going to think we're a stupid show. And someone listened to that first, and they thought we're a stupid show. So I hope we get a second chance with your friend out there. But yeah, if you weren't sure, the one that was crazy a couple weeks ago, that was an April Fool's episode. Yes. So sorry if it caught you unaware, or if you were trying to turn a friend onto us, and that was what they heard the first time around.
Sorry?
Oh, no.
Why am I sorry? I thought it was funny.
Well, I'm sorry if it chased somebody off. How about that?
Okay.
Nah.
He's not even sorry about that. He's
no. If he chased him off, they weren't my audience anyway.
If they wouldn't listen to you talk about a toothbrush,
that's right.
For you. Well, hey, if you heard it, we hope you enjoyed it. Maybe we'll do that again, or maybe we'll maybe it's too dangerous to do again. I don't know.
If we announce it, it kind of defeats the purpose.
They'll forget for now and next year. They'll never know. Thanks everyone that wrote in about that April Fool's episode. We're glad you enjoyed it. We're sorry if it chased you off, but you won't know that because you're gone. So boo, we don't care about you. So as George said. All right, with that, let's get into the body of this show right after this break. Stick around. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack, and it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are right. things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at GenXGrownUp.com.
What's this stuff? Some cereal. It's supposed to be good for you. Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
I'm not going to try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah.
He won't eat it. He hates everything. He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
When you bring life home, don't tell the kids it's one of those nutritional cereals you've been trying to get them to eat. You're the only one who has to know.
Let's get the show rolling with talking about media, as we always like to do right at the top. It could, of course, be film or television or movies or comics or music or whatever it is that we have been enjoying. And George, you have something that you were looking forward to a couple episodes ago. What have you been checking out?
Yeah, The Rising of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Hero Season 2 finally came out. Mm. I've been grabbing them from the public domain, as we talk about here and there. This season, I've concentrated only on watching the original Japan language audio with the English subtitles, which does make a lot of difference for a lot of people who watch anime. Some people think the English sub audio bastardizes the whole process, so they only listen to the Japanese, like my three sons. They, oh, you listen to the English audio, you're horrible, don't do that, it's going to ruin the show. And it does sometimes.
Well, I mean, what they say is that sometimes what they say in English isn't actually what they say in Japanese. Like, they actually change some of the meaning sometimes. And maybe subtle, but sometimes they do.
They do that, but my point to my sons was, I don't know that they're not doing that in the subtitles. because that's in English as well, just like the audio is. I don't know that the subtitles are 100% accurate. Right. So I just watch it, and if I like it, I enjoy it. And The Rising of Shield Hero is something I enjoy. So this season, it's focused right at the first couple episodes only on the Shield Hero, as it often does, because that's the titular character. Last season, it was all about him being the lowest ranked of the heroes and nobody giving him respect. And he basically single-handedly saved the day against what they call the waves, which are these creatures that come in through this weird rift in space or time or whatever and attack the world that he's defending. This season, the waves are not coming. Nobody knows why. Well, there's this giant tortoise thing that's going around the land that's apparently preventing the waves from happening. But the way it does it is apparently it kills people, collects their souls, and uses that energy to prevent the waves. I'm like,
huh.
So you're protecting the people by killing them. Oh, okay. Let's go with that and see where it goes.
I guess if it's killing fewer people than would get killed otherwise, I don't know. That's a weird one.
I mean, if that were the case, however, it's not just that. There's been a twist. Episode 2 just came out and I just watched it. It looks like the tortoise has been released against its own accord, so its destructive force is doing things that its intelligence force doesn't want it to do.
Wow.
Because it was released incorrectly, so it's going around and destroying stuff en masse. So it's just destroying whole towns and cities. And it's some crazy get out your Ren and Stimpy medicine and watch it type of stuff going on. But it's fun. I'm still enjoying it.
Well, that's cool.
It's crazy killer turtle Japanimation stuff. You've lost me somewhere, but I can see that there's clearly something amazing in it for you, but it just absolutely has blown my mind just thinking about the concepts you've introduced.
The only thing that I think that keeps me watching it is that I still like some of the original main characters that were introduced. We talk about it often. It's about if the characters have story and if they're compelling. Sure. So the Shield Hero's character is compelling. He's somebody that's from our world that got transported to this world in the first season. And he's met all these interesting characters and creatures, and he's just adapted to life on this new place. And his cohorts, the people that are around him, they're also very likable and you root for them. So that's what keeps me coming back. Not the, we've got a tortoise flying through the air, Gamera kind of thing going on. But
wait, see, Gamera? Like, okay, now you got me. So
well,
now
I mean, it's a damn tortoise. I don't know what's going to happen. I enjoy watching a bunch of crazy crap.
That's okay.
John's title of the thing that he wants to talk about that I've seen on the card looks like another thing of crazy crap. So I kind of want to hear what that's about.
It's not as crazy a crap as you might think, actually.
Okay.
So a Netflix film just dropped just last week, I think. It jumped out at me mainly because of the style of art in the film. So it's called Apollo 10 and a half.
Okay. Is that the mission that didn't work? Or
it's Naked Gun producer. Yeah,
right. Naked Gun. 33 to 3rd and Apollo 10 and a half, right? So I'll tell you what the film is about in a second. The first thing that grabbed me was it's a fully 100% rotoscoped animation film, like a Scanner Darkly kind of look.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But it's not a super dark noir crime thing. Apollo 10 and a half is set in the 50s and late 60s, as you might imagine, around the space race that was going on. And the concept of the film is very, very charming. It's a story told by a grown kid who was a kid at the time about how he was approached by some agents at his school who drafted him for a moon mission prior to Apollo 11 because they had, get this, inadvertently made the lander module too small for an adult. Totally rational, right?
So they needed a kid to fit in it.
So he needed a kid to fit in it, right?
Got it.
So it starts there, and so he says, sure, I'll do it, whatever. He's got to help us out because, you know, the Apollo 11 mission is coming. We need your help to get this thing up and running. And the kid talks about, I start my training, but immediately there he goes, we'll get back to that. Let's go back and talk about what life was like growing up. And so he goes back a little bit pre-Gen X. So he's talking like early 60s. You know, he probably was born in the, I don't know, like late 50s or something. But he talks about the TV that he watched and how he ran around and played with all of his neighborhood kids. And he was the youngest of six kids and how they would get together and ride bikes. And it's really a huge slice of life of what it was like growing up in that era, which again, it was just pre-Gen X. Much of it carries over. So, and once he finishes kind of fondly looking back at what it was like growing up in that era and how he loved watching Mr. Ed and Wonderful World of Color before it was called The Wonderful World of Disney and how his weekends were spent. And then it goes on to how he continues to his training so that he can do this moon launch. And then he just says, I did it. What you find out through his story was that he is a notorious fabricator. He's known for embellishing on the truth. When he goes to show and tell, he talks about how he met someone amazing that he didn't meet or whatever. And so while they never fully resolve it in the film, you get the feeling that it's either a story he made up or a story he misremembered or something he's really embellished on. It doesn't say that's what happened, but we know if this is the real universe that a kid probably didn't go to the moon 2 weeks before Apollo 11, but it's packed with so much nostalgia and it's so much fun. Narrated by Jack Black. He's the grown man.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Who was the kid who went through all of this ostensibly. It's so packed with that fun memories of what it's like growing up in that kind of pre-digital age that I watched it twice. Actually, I watched it all the way through. I fell asleep in the last 10 minutes and rather than picking up the last 10 minutes, I just started over because it was just that much fun. Have either of you even seen this in the theater or checked it out?
I'm having a hard time following it right now.
Well, it is a bunch of, I think, fabrications, so that's not surprising. But boy, I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, if you're a fan of this show or a fan, you know, of growing up in the era that we did, even if you're not interested in the space mission part of it, which is a lot of fun, just the nostalgia that it tickles is great. And talking about his childhood and the things, hell, we just talked about our last backtrack about, you know, the autonomy and the independence that we learned. Same kind of thing he's outlining there and how he was his own kid.
I don't think we would have made it home when the lights came on, though, had we gone to the moon.
That's true.
No. Yeah. And they talk about, they fake for him that he went to summer camp with a bunch of fake pictures so that he can be away on his training in the moon mission.
Well, he's good at it though. I say that much.
It's totally unbelievable, but deliberately charming. Yeah, it's good stuff. So Apollo 10 and a half, definitely worse ways to spend a couple of hours. And it's on Netflix, so you could probably pick it up.
There you go.
No extra effort. Yeah. How about you, Mo? What have you been checking out?
I went and saw a movie. Actually, the movie came out in limited runs like a few weeks ago, and I was pissed off that Jacksonville was not one of the places it came out, but it just hit Jacksonville last week. And it's a movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once,
with Michelle Yeoh. Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's the title of the movie? Because I wasn't sure if you were describing something or if you were giving us the title.
It's called Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
That is the title. The basic premise is that there's this woman, she runs a laundry, Chinese, I guess Canada or America, not really sure what country, they really don't tell you what country she's in, but it's one of those countries. And she's
everywhere. So,
but she's upset with her life. And then it turns out that like there's a rift in the multiverse and she has somehow, and she's the one that has to communicate with her alternate selves and get the skills to help save the whole multiverse. It is an insane, crazy, bizarre movie. And I loved every freaking second of it. I will go back and watch it again.
So we've gone in this media segment several weeks ago to three things we all didn't like, a couple of weeks ago to three things we all liked, to now three things that are batshit crazy, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to theme the media segment. Yeah.
It's a theme, apparently. We're not coordinating this ahead of time. Everybody out there is probably accidental. Like, oh, they picked these things.
No, absolutely. It's just luck. I mean, Michelle Yeoh, phenomenal in this role. I mean, just phenomenal. The person who plays her daughter, also phenomenal. Have you guys seen this yet?
I snuck out and saw it last night. I was looking forward to it. And I was baffled a lot of the time, but it was visually stunning. And I was pleasantly surprised that it's not a movie that's been done a dozen times.
Exactly. Like, oh my God. That was the biggest thing. It was like, it's an original movie. Did you recognize the person who played her husband?
Yes. It's Short Round from Indiana Jones.
Short Round. He's been out of acting for like 20 something years and he's now back into acting.
It doesn't show. He jumped right in it.
And he does phenomenal too. And again, the movie is just a nutty, crazy movie, but you just go with it. Like, it's just done so well for me anyway that I just went with it. Even though it got some parts I'm like, are you kidding me? I just went with it and enjoyed it. It was like a roller coaster ride, honestly.
I saw you'd listed it, so I went looking on Rotten Tomatoes and it's like a 97 with critics and like a 96 with the audience. And I get it. I understand why. Yeah, it's pretty damn amazing.
I said, Michelle Yeoh, I mean, she, and I guess the thing that kind of tickled me personally is that, like, the way her household runs, just reminded me of a lot of other Asian households, you know, on my mom's side and friends' houses, where you sit there and the parents will switch languages back and forth from English to Chinese or Korean, and it was just without thinking. But the way they did it was, it just felt very natural. It felt like, wow, that's actually pretty good.
Did it?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. Or they'll mix in an English word when they're speaking Chinese, or, you know, or the other way around. If there's a concept that's easier to explain one way or the other, just, and you don't even think about it, you just sort of do it. And the child who doesn't speak Chinese because she grew up in the, you know, didn't grow up there, and, you know, the grandfather's upset because she doesn't speak Chinese, all that stuff just also kind of like tickled me, because I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. And oh, one other thing I'll say, Jamie Lee Curtis was also pretty freaking amazing.
yeah she had a remarkable role as an IRS auditor
who, yeah.
she had trophies on her desk as best auditor. It was a golden butt plug.
It was a golden butt plug.
Wow.
Which plays in later.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say.
It's a, yeah.
I'm going to go see it again in the theater. That's how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was pretty darn incredible. And it's worthy of going to see in the theater. It visually is an interesting and, like, well put together and stunning film. And not so much like The Fight Club or Sixth Sense, but I get the feeling this is a movie that will be very different the next time you see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think
compared
so too.
To the first time you see it, when you know what is coming, you know?
Yeah,
something a little different. Yeah, I think you're right, George. Three things that are absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah.
But actually quite enjoyable, as it turns out.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Look, Linda, I just bought a new seamless support bra that's so beautiful. I have to show you. Oh, better show you this way. It's the Playtex Support Can Be Beautiful bra, and it's seamless. Don't you love these pretty details? And these smooth, seamless cups. Plus, this secret support designed for real support. And you know, it's so pretty, it makes me feel pretty. The new seamless Support Can Be Beautiful bra from Playtex. Support can be beautiful.
Anybody who's watched our YouTube channel will probably guess what my tech toy is going to be right now. So I'm going to save that for last. So, George, if you don't mind, why don't you lead us off today?
Yeah, I've got a tech toy today. But before I get into that, just a real quick little thing to get some discussion going on Discord or some emails or whatnot. Everybody out there knows that I'm a big comic book guy, love comics, enjoy collecting, reading and everything. There's been an app that I've been using for several years now called CLZ.
They
do not just comic collections, but they also will help you to organize your DVDs if you want, or your video game discs if you're selling them things. And they offer all these kinds of tools about helping you figure out how much your stuff is worth, or if it's complete or in the box, and different things like that. So for a little while, they had an extra little feature that they had built in with another company called Go Collect, where they were providing you with value numbers based on what your ratings were for your comics. So if you had a graded 9.6 thing, it would tell you, okay, these are worth about this right now. And every time you would refresh, it would give you a new update. They took that away because whatever their deal was with Go Collect went away. That was fine. No big deal. We had it. We didn't have it. Didn't really care. Well, just recently they announced that they are going back to that model where they're going to provide values inside the app again. Yay. Awesome. Cool. However, they're partnering with some company who they haven't announced who the company is yet, but they're apparently a major player in the space. But in order to get the service on the app, you will now need to pay that company whatever their fee is when the deal is announced.
Ooh.
Now, my first take on it was that doesn't sound like a good business model, because to me, that would turn people off if you have to go pay some other company to use something inside of the app that you already pay for.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me tell you, I posted that idea on the Facebook group for CLZ and got blasted.
They didn't like that, huh?
Oh, no. I don't mean the company.
Well, by who? By other users?
By the other users. They lost their minds at me One person said I was too self-important to think that I should have posted that. Another person said that how could you ask for a better model? You know, this is the perfect model. Blah, blah.
No, it's not perfect.
I've read all the comments. I had like 60, 70 comments or in like the first day.
Jeez.
And I went through and looked through them. And some of the comments were actually very constructive and had good points on the opposite side of what I was thinking.
Okay.
So I'm kind of switching back to the idea, okay, I understand the validity of this model, because one person pointed out raw values of comic books that are not sent off to CGC or CBCS, they're hit or miss, right? Nobody knows really what you're going to get for that comic book that's just in a bag and board that hasn't been graded by a professional company. But if those are important to you, just because you want to get a ballpark figure of what your collection is worth, you can pay for that other service for like a month. Let it update your values and then just not pay for it again.
Sure.
Oh, I see. Like, if you want, once a year, you want to check how much your things are worth or something like that.
So, and most of those services apparently are somewhere between $5 and $9 per month.
Oh,
the number that was making me choke was the yearly number, because, you know, it's $100 a year at the outside. So I just think it might be something that might be fun for our listeners and our Discord people who love comics to talk about, because I know there's a lot of comic book fans out there.
It's nice that some people actually took the time to do like, okay, I don't agree with you. Here's why.
Here's a counterpoint, not just you son of a bitch, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't mind the attacks, because I expect, you know, you post your opinion on something, somebody's going to say you're an asshole.
Yeah, true.
So I was fine with that, but I was happy to see that a lot of the users in the group said, well, think about it like this. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, now I'll get into my Tekken toy that I spent all that time in wasting Mo's segment time that he's going to talk about his thing later. To our fourth listener email earlier, Doug, who talked about those devices that you can use to get Bluetooth connectivity for your older radio and your older vehicle. Yep. I picked up one of the things that is probably a little bit more common for most people, and it's the Nuloxi KM18 wireless in-car Bluetooth FM transmitter. So
FM, okay. Yep.
Just one of those that instead of having a direct plug or anything, it broadcasts an FM signal. You pick which frequency is the less cluttered in your area. You set it on that device. You tune your radio to that same thing. Then it syncs with your cell phone or whatever device you want to sync over Bluetooth to it, and you can hear the music. I'm going to tell you, I've been using this thing for about a week now. Oh my God, does this thing work so much better than the old Motorola Roadster I used to have like 15 years ago? This thing is brilliant. Number one, it has a wider range of frequencies. I think it starts at like 87.9 and goes up to like 107.9 or something like that. So much wider than I used to
have. Sounds like it covers the whole FM band then. Yeah.
And I noticed that the audio is clearer than I've ever heard in my car, even with my terrestrial radio stations, which you would hope, you know, it's a little FM station inside your car. I've been using YouTube Music with it, and I noticed something just yesterday. So in YouTube Music, when you're using their app, they default to one of two things. And on mine, they were defaulting to the song tab. However, there's another button where you can click and pick the video, because this is from YouTube. When I chose the video on the songs I was listening to, I had deeper bass sounds, more rich volume.
Oh, less compressed probably.
I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it even more now. I don't let the videos distract me, but it is nice to hear the nicer ranges. And I was really surprised that this FM transmitter, it was like $30 or something like that, I think I paid on Amazon for it.
Decent deal.
Yeah, it does the job that I want it to do, and it does it cleanly. And now it's made me think, okay, I don't have to replace my radio in my car tomorrow. I can still wait longer until I really research, pick the radio I want, save up for it, decide how to install it, the whole nine yards.
Cool.
Nice. Much like what Doug was talking about, it's kind of that halfway point. Like, just get over the pain point of not being able to do a couple of things and help you enjoy your driving experience. I like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I remember I had something similar way back in the day that was for like MP3 players. So you could play your MP3s over FM to your car.
Right.
Right. Right. You would plug into the.
Yeah. And it worked okay. Sometimes, though, like you had to try and find the right frequency was a little bit difficult at the time. But, you know, once you got it tuned in, it worked fine. But this one sounds like a much more updated, probably more intelligent version.
Well, I think a couple of things have come into play. Number one, there have been newer Bluetooth versions from when I first started doing this 15 years ago.
For sure.
Number two, I think it also depends on the city that you live in, because I've seen some reviews saying this thing didn't work for them at all. And then I looked, well, they live in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right. You probably don't let a, have a lot of free frequencies yeah. available yeah, to yeah, you for this device.
The spectrum's very cluttered, so getting yeah. a nice clean signal, not great there.
Yeah, yeah. Versus somebody who lives in, say, Montana, maybe. You probably have half the dial.
Best thing ever. No interference. Right.
Yeah. So I think that's the big part of the factor. I just like the fact that it transmits a strong enough signal for my car in my area that I get good audio. It connects seamlessly to my phone without any delays or anything. I noticed that before with the old mm-hmm. Bluetooth FM transmitter.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody would say something on screen and there was a half second delay in the audio mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
A lot
thing.
Of latency.
Nothing like that in this case.
Don't watch that screen while you're driving, George. We're going to keep you alive.
I was just looking at it in the driveway.
That's right.
Okay.
But I also got to delay spending $300 to $500 on mm-hmm. a replacement yeah. radio.
Well, maybe you could buy that Dragon's Lair cabinet that Arcade okay. Web just dropped instead.
Why, we're not talking about that here.
No.
Jerk.
I'm just poking the bear a little bit. Just remind
You're evil.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to the jerk then, since I'm not going to talk about the Dragon's Lair cabinet he's trying to get me to spend $600 on Enabler. Just one more $100 bill.
You're welcome.
John, do you yeah. have anything that's remotely tech or toy?
Absolutely. It is absolutely a piece of tech. I'm a little bit wary about talking about it because I'm still haven't gotten over talking about bidets some
wait,
months
it's
back.
On the same, it's on the,
you
wait,
brought
huh?
up the bidets. Why?
I did, but you guys harassed me over it, but it was a very viable piece of gear in your home, right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
gear. That's okay. not the term you want to use when you're yeah, talking about really. Bidets.
Exactly. I agree
okay.
with you, George.
This has nothing to do with the bathroom. This time, I purchased a personal massager.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, my
no,
God.
I did.
That's the end of the podcast.
No, wait, don't hang up yet. Jeez. Hold on. Wait,
which okay. is it?
Okay. Did you go to the Hustler Hollywood store or some shit
yeah,
for this?
Really? No, no. Sunset Novelties or something like that?
Let me walk this back a couple of steps. So, I knew it.
Oh, my God.
I have flat feet. I have fallen arches. And as I get older... Let me finish. As I get older.
Can I finish, please?
Oh, my God.
I'm kind of developing plantar fasciitis, which is where those tendons underneath your foot, you know, bound by the ball of your heel, start to really ache and hurt over time. And I found that if you can kind of massage it a little bit and that helps. But what I found was if I kind of beat on it with my fist, that really helps. So I went looking for one of those percussive deep tissue massage guns.
Sorry.
What?
I'm trying.
It's I didn't say wand massager. It's a personal massager.
You said beat it with your fist. I mean.
Okay. Look.
All right.
So it looks like a drill, right? But mm-hmm. it has this percussive ball on the end that you can use to. What? That you can use.
I wish you could see the video of George because he's about to lose it.
He's turning red. No.
Okay. Let's so.
Okay.
Continue,
so
John.
The tool is called a mm-hmm. percussive deep tissue massage gun. They become very popular over the last couple of years, I'd noticed. It looks kind of like a cordless drill, and it has a little attachment on the end that can be either like a rubber ball or a little flat part or whatever. And it's designed to massage
or an elongated
tissue.
Tube with a
no, they
tip.
Don't have that attachment. Or if they do, I didn't buy it, okay?
We're going to get so much listener mail. I make it.
We're going to get FCC mail.
No, because we're not broadcast. We're not interfering with your Bluetooth. It's just on the internet. Otherwise, yes, FCC. When I saw this, I'm like, well, I'm interested, but I went looking and they seem to start at like $400 or $500
holy
for
crap.
Some reason for what? These things. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And I started going down and down like, oh, they have lots of models. And I picked up one that just cost $50. So it's expensive if it doesn't work, but I'm like, it's Amazon. If I don't like it, I can send it right back. And I also read dubious claims that it doesn't really do anything or it actually is it's a placebo or whatever. All that may be true. What I do know, though, is I paid $50 for this discount, you know, $50 massage gun. I've been using it for about a week now on my fallen arches, on my feet, and it absolutely has helped. I found that my feet don't ache nearly as much as they do, especially right after I use it for many hours afterwards. I don't know if it's a placebo or not, but it's working for me, right? It really does feel better. Now, I tried it on my wife's back. She has some back pains with a different attachment and tried that. And she said it's a little rough if you get close to like your spine or where there's bone. But as long as like deep tissue, you know, like around your shoulders and, you know, on your thighs and your arms, it feels good. Just the super percussive. I don't know how many thousands, like hummingbird. You can't even see it move, right? But it has absolutely helped me and something that I'm not sending back, despite how much you laugh at me for buying any sort of massager.
Hey, if it works for you, man.
The thing that pisses me off the most is I'm old too. I'm probably going to end up buying this damn thing my shoulders because I get these bad muscle knots in my neck all the time just from stress and tenseness and everything. Damn it.
I'll let you try out my personal massager and see if it works for you.
I don't want to try out your personal massager.
Get your own from Amazon and return it if you don't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some things you don't share, John.
What's the resale market on these things? That's the part that disturbs me the most.
I'm not reselling mine, though. I'm keeping it, and I like it, and it actually does a pretty darn good job.
Slightly it's wireless. Used personal massager. No.
It's cordless. It's rechargeable. It has like six different attachments for different sorts of applications. Stop it. None of them are cylindrical. I'll put the Mo to put a link down the description to check it out.
There's an aftermarket for that.
I'm not sure there is. And if you're thinking 3D printer, George, don't go there. Don't do it. That is my piece of tech that I stand by no matter how much you make fun of me. Mo, how about you?
Okay. Sorry.
There's no easy way to go from that topic to yours.
Right. I'm just going to just write it into mine and we'll figure it out later. Okay. So I'm going to talk about something I got in the mail recently, something we ordered about a year ago, I guess now. It's the New Wave Toys Qbert Replicate. It's a 1/6 side Qbert cabinet. I got the Warren Davis edition. That's the person who designed Qbert.
I'm still pissed.
Why are you so pissed?
Because I still haven't gotten mine. I haven't even gotten an email about shipping it yet.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
I think the Warren Davis ones went out first and the other ones are coming out later.
Yeah,
I didn't order that one.
So, so there's a regular one and there's a Warren Davis one. And I picked up the Warren Davis one because it was an extra $20 or something like that. I figured, what the hell?
Right. Yeah.
One is just my game standpoint. I'll put links to my video that I did on YouTube for this. Mm-hmm. But it plays like Qbert. I've played this thing so much. It's awesome. I mean, and just the way it feels and the sounds, and they put the knocker in when you fall. I mean, all these little touches they did, which, you know, we've done other reviews on New Wave toys, and we know that all the replicates are pretty high quality, you know, generally speaking.
I just have a question for you, Mo.
Sure.
It's something that's been bothering me a little bit since I've gotten more and more into the replicate and numbskull market.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not feel as though they're essentially circumventing Kickstarter, doing their own pre-funding on these things through their website because they have a good enough reputation, I guess, on their previous ones that because it's been a year almost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I agree. These. That's Kickstarter lead times at this point, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, they're definitely pre-funding their work.
Right.
They're not putting any money into it. They're basically getting everyone else to put the money into it and then they're delivering it. And I don't know if that model is going to change, especially like New Wave. I mean, their replicates are pretty damn good in general. I mean, so we all have one and we're all pretty happy with each one.
And people like us, we seem to be willing to buy something online and then wait months or even a year. Return to Dark Tower, John. Two years. That was through Kickstarter. Yeah. But I'm wondering if this whole buying online model has changed our perception of what we're willing to do when it comes to spending our money. When we were kids, would you have ever spent money on a toy that you couldn't take home that day?
Oh, God. Or even 2 days. That was like hell.
4 to 6 weeks to delivery was a nightmare. Are you kidding? A year? Killing me.
Yeah. A year is be like, oh, geez, why do I even want to play with it after
it's
that?
It's just a whole new market, a whole new world. And it just amazes me how quickly we've all accepted it without even discussing it or talking about it.
True. And I think it also has to do with what they're selling, because they're definitely hitting like a very specific market that they know that these people, like Dark Tower, they know that there's a crowd of people out there that will jump all over this because they love Dark Tower. And again, with the replicates, you know, they Dragon's Lair and for you, you know, and so for me, it's like when they came with Qbert, I was like, that was an insta buy for me as soon as I saw it. And of course, I thought it was coming out 6 months earlier.
Well, of course you did. Yeah,
well, because they told you that, right?
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Said Q1,
that's what they
blah,
said.
Blah, blah, blah. No,
but
didn't
then
happen.
Actually, tell you the truth, I sort of forgot about it, which usually what happens.
Which is what happens with Kickstarter, right?
Yeah.
Then you get the email
like, what is this? Oh, a surprise gift from my past self. Oh,
exactly. You don't, you're not thinking about the money anymore, about how expensive or cheap it was. You're just like, oh, I got this thing now.
But the one thing I would say about it, other than the fact that it plays awesome, it seems, you know, everything about it I love, is that I guess if you bought the Warren Davis edition, some number, which I'm not sure how many, got an autographed version. And I happened to get one of those. So I have autographed one of those, which I was like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I was just.
If anybody got an autographed version, Mo is somebody who should have got an autographed version. Your devotion to that game.
That never happens to me, though.
That's great. Right. But it should have here.
I know. I'm like, wow. It's just like the stars aligned and it all worked out. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised, too, at how much grief you got over that on Discord.
Oh.
People were like thinking we were influencers enough that they would send us.
Oh, I know. I wish.
Yeah, we got that on Facebook. They're like, oh, people who review games, they got what is suspicious. So you got an autograph. Right. Like, dude, first of all, we've ordered it blind like you. We waited a year like you, and we got lucky like you. That was it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel very lucky. So, like I said, I love it. I'll put a link into the whole review on it on YouTube. But
yeah, great video. Definitely
it
worth
was
watching.
A ton of fun. I love this thing. And now the thing that hurts me is like, it's autographed. So do I want to put it away? I want to keep playing it. I don't know what to do now. It's
play it.
Now
you're play it. Leave it
I'm
out.
To buy a second one as soon as they are on the trade.
That crossed my mind.
I should have bought them both.
I know.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't. Almond Joy's got real milk chocolate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Coconut and munchy nuts too. Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewy coconut. Ooh. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you don't. Ooh. Peter Paul.
Plus, now there's also a new Mounds with creamy rich milk chocolate.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time!
All right, boys and girls, time to talk about games. We have got some fun stuff. We got some cheap stuff. We got some expensive stuff, probably. Yeah. I don't care. All I know is it's the time to talk about playing games. Mo, since you talked about Qbert in the last segment, let's talk about your game first in this segment.
Oh, sure. I picked up the Lego Skywalker Saga game for the PC.
Ah, the new one. Oh, okay. It's like all the movies, right?
It's all the movies. All nine.
How many of these damn Lego Star Wars things are there? Jesus Christ.
A billion of them.
A bunch.
And I bought every single freaking one of them. It's like, for me, honestly, these games are almost like I can shut off my mind and just play and have fun. Like, they're not deep think games, but for some reason, they're entertaining. They're very humorous because they poke fun at the things they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I still remember from the original Star Wars one where the guy's like, you know, two stormtroopers are talking to each other. The guy's like, hey, how'd you do in your shooting range? He says, oh, man, I got 3 out of 10. You know, the guy's like, how'd you do that? He's like, I closed my eyes. You know, I mean, just things like that, you know, they have.
Well, now, hold on. I'm confused. I remember playing the Lego games before and they didn't have English words. It was more like Sims type of stuff.
Yeah, they actually changed that. That was a bit ago now, but they used to have the non-talking version. And actually, this one, there's a thing you could buy to turn it into a non-talking version.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
what?
No, not buy. You purchase in with the studs. Yeah,
oh,
with
in
studs
the game. There's an option.
You can buy with studs.
Yeah, got it.
So
yeah.
It's not an additional purchase, thankfully. One, it's all 9 movies. All 9 Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
It has like something like 300 characters, ultimately, that you can get.
Good Lord.
All sorts of vehicles.
What's that screen look like? It must cover the entire screen.
It's a rotating screen. It's like a ring.
So you can flip the pages.
Yeah.
You move through them.
So you're swapping pages. I played with it a good amount already. I mean, it's just fun.
They are fun.
And granted, I paid full price for it, I admit.
What was full price for this?
$50. It was $49.
Okay. You going to get your Corys out of that?
I will, ultimately. It may take a little while because I'm doing the usual, John. I know you played a bunch of these games where, okay, get through the story part real fast and then go back to do the free play to try to get it.
And find all the little things that you didn't find. You missed. Yeah. That's a compulsive person's nightmare or delight, depending on how you look at it. Because there's so many things to collect. They're not super hard to collect. They're just enough hidden that it's gratifying to find them. And and the more you play, the more powerful you get and the easier it is to do stuff. They found the right combination to keep those things, keep you coming back for more. Love it.
And this one too, it's funny. They do a good job just hinting on that nostalgia about Star Wars too, which is just cool. Like, you know, you're playing it, you're like, wow, I feel very nostalgic about it. Mm-hmm. So how about you, John? What have you been playing?
Yeah, I picked up a game. Well, I don't say I picked it up. It was part of that Stand With Ukraine Humble Bundle that we talked about a few weeks ago, right? We participated in contributing $20 million to, to Ukrainian relief.
We didn't contribute $20 million ourselves.
Oh, sure we did. Yeah, well, we contributed to the contribution.
Group collectively.
Yes, right.
Contributed $20 million.
I did my part.
Exactly.
Now we have $20 million and $7.
Exactly right. Yeah. Thank you, Johnny. So there was a game in there that touted itself as a first-person Metroidvania adventure game. And I was like, okay. I'm interested.
I mean, that's enough to pique my interest.
Yeah. So the game is called Supraland. S-U-P-R-A. Supraland.
Okay.
The concept of the game is that you're a little gingerbread man looking rubber figure in a world of other little gingerbread man looking generic rubber figures that live in a child's sandbox. But you have this entire kind of Toy Story-esque, when the kid's not around, you're all alive and have your own civilization and do stuff, right?
Okay.
So what has happened is something has happened at the beginning of the game where we don't have any water in our land and we're the red people and there's blue people somewhere on the other side of the sandbox across these barren wastelands and puzzles to get to. And so you go down this well and find out you suspect the blue people are responsible and you're on this journey to make your way to the blue village to restore the problem to get the water back for your town. Okay. It is a Metroidvania in that as you collect these coins from battling monsters and stuff, you take them back to the stores and you unlock new abilities like double jumps or triple jumps or a magic cube you can use to stack and climb up on things or a gun you can get to shoot. You know, all these different things that you can collect that when you come back to old areas, you can get to areas that you couldn't get through the first time around because you didn't yet have that tool and that ability. It is a very colorful, cartoony kind of world. It feels almost like being in a little Toy Story-ish sort of universe. And while there's no story per se, other than the ultimate goal, there's a great amount of progression. There's a lot of very gratifying puzzle solving. You know, how am I going to get past this? Well, you know, flip this switch and put that in the way and, you know, that sort of, and that progression you get where you're up against something you can't get past. You're like, well, I have to remember to come back here later. And when you do get that ability and come back, you're like, oh, I'm a boss. You come back and you smash this thing and a whole new area is unlocked. And that's a lot of fun too.
So is it challenging? I mean, how would you rate as far as like difficulty or is it?
It's not technically challenging. Anyone who has just a little experience in games has no trouble navigating the world and doing stuff. It's only challenging in knowing what to do, figuring out how to solve the puzzle, where to go next, how to get over the next hump sort of thing. So technically you'll have no trouble jumping up and navigating and shooting guys and swinging your sword. All that's no trouble. You got to figure out what to do. It'll challenge your brain, not your dexterity.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. It's normally $20. I saw that right now it's on sale for $10. I got it for, you know, pennies because I bought it in that giant Humble bundle.
Right.
But I would have easily paid $10-15 for it, I think. It's a really nice and well done game. I looked to see who made it, and I'm guessing might have been their first game ever or second. It's by Supra Games, and they did Supra Land. So maybe they just started their studio on this game. But if it is, a great first effort. I hope they continue to do more. But
awesome. I'm going to check
it out. Worth your time. We'll throw a link down in the show notes where you can check it out. If you happen to pick up that Humble bundle, you've got it already. Yeah. So good news. George, how about you? What's been consuming your time?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the episode, you did the little tease as you always do, and the thing that I've been playing is the thing that's sweeping the nation. I've been playing Wordle.
Oh, yeah. And I've been too. Everybody is, I think.
This is a little thing. I kept hearing about it and people were talking about it. And I was like, okay, I'm getting bored with my daily drivers on my phone for the things that have daily activities to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, I want something new. I'll give this thing a try. I downloaded it on my Android phone, been playing it for, I don't know, about a week or two at this point. It's fun. It's an interesting concept.
You downloaded it?
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Wordle?
Uh-huh.
Is it an app? I thought it was a website.
It's a website.
Okay,
it's an app too.
It's app on my phone.
Oh, is it the same Wordle?
Well, I didn't know there were different ones. So it's spelled W-O-R-D-L-E exclamation point.
Because I know that the Wordle that you know has been in all the news lately and all that stuff, that's the one New York Times just bought, and that's the website.
Website. So you're saying that this app is not New York Times?
Well, it's not the Wordle, I don't think, that people are talking about. I don't think.
No, well, maybe it's a copycat Wordle. I mean, it's a simple game to duplicate.
Yeah, it's very simple to copy.
It's not like this challenge. What is it? Like, is it only five letter, six letter words? What do they give you?
Five letter words in the app that I've been playing. So, okay, well, maybe I'm not playing the thing that's sweeping the nation.
I'm playing a version of it. How about that?
But I'm playing something of it.
One like it. Yeah.
In the version that I'm playing, the app version, you get six tries to guess your word. Each day is a different word. Then they also have a couple of other versions of the game that you can play, like one where it's continuous that you can just keep trying and trying new words until you run out.
No, that's not a thing in the website. No,
that
was
very simple.
Okay. That's cool. Well, so here's something I was going to bring up. Because it's an app, and as a lot of apps have, they have ads in this thing.
No, of course.
And in this app, they have an ad like every second or third guess that you make. And it's a 30-second ad usually.
Oh, that's
so it really makes the game difficult to play. So I'm like, okay, I've got all kinds of Google dollars from doing all our surveys that we do on Android. I'll just do the no ads purchase. Well, the no ads purchase on this thing is $5.
Wow.
Now, usually no ads things are like a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
So this is more than double what I'm used to. And I wanted to bring it up thinking that maybe they had a cheaper price when Wordle wasn't popular, but now that it is popular, they raised the price of the no ads thing to generate more revenue. But if what you're saying is true, that I'm not even playing the thing that everybody's talking about, it seems like this company might just be taking advantage of people like me who see the word Wordle and say, shit. Let me play my game.
But what they're doing doesn't sound that outlandish, because one thing about Wordle is that you get one word a day. And I know people are often anxious about, I have to wait till tomorrow to play again.
Yeah.
So here's an app that offers you yet another opportunity to play a different word on the same day. Is it still one word a day? Same deal?
No. The other portions are different. Oh. So there's classic, what it calls classic. And in classic, you just continue with word after word after word after word until you can't guess a word. And you get a score based on
how tries,
quickly
I guess,
you guess the word. Like if you guess it on the first guess, you get 5 points or something like that, and so on and so forth. The daily puzzle, which sounds like what you guys are talking about, is like a one word per day. Then they have two other things that I haven't tried yet. One called Word Fever and one called Secret Word. Now, Secret Word seems duplicitous in this case because all the words secret,
right? Yeah.
But, you know, there's other little things too, like you get little prizes and trophies and you collect coins in order to spend on hint things that you can do. I don't know if you can do that on the webpage.
No, it's just very basic.
No.
Nothing like that. So they've taken what it sounds like is on the webpage and they've modified it and added stuff to it.
I know that. I read a thing about, because the New York Times obviously bought the website version about a month or two ago for an undisclosed amount of money. And I saw an article where it sounds like the Times is going to be going after all the copycats.
Oh.
Yeah. So get it while you can.
Yeah, if you're with this app, you should get it soon.
Maybe, but if they go after and shut this copycat down, then they're depriving me of the $5 I spent unknowingly on something that wasn't there. That's going to piss me off. I'm going to be mad at the New York Times then, because I would have gone to their website and played now that you've taught me about it. But if they shut down my app, fuck those guys. I won't ever do anything
I think if you own it, you're set. The App Store is not going to uninstall an app from you. You can't buy it new probably.
But if they shut it down, it provides a new word from their database
server. Oh, the back end service. That's right. It's not just a checkers game, right? Yeah. Something that's coming from a server. That's an excellent point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, be careful, New York Times. You're going to piss off some Gen Xers. I'm just saying.
Gonna upset George. Easy now, right?
Yeah.
They've definitely iterated on the game that does much more, unless you can play continuously and stuff like that. So if you're a Wordle fan, copycat or no, this sounds like a logical progression of that. It's less social because it's not everybody guessing the same word every day.
Right.
But you can keep playing and keep playing and keep playing, which, all right, that's neat.
Yeah.
And they've branched into some more, like, not just Wordles. There's like a hurdle that's like named that tune, and there's another one for movies.
There's one that's turtle that's like a curse words or something
I guess
that.
So I don't know all the things out there. The only other one I know that I play and we talk about on our Discord server all the time is Framed.
Oh yeah.
And the movie I love the URL framed.wtf.
I know. Is that
That's
great?
One of the best domains I've seen in a while, but it's based on still scenes from movies. And I love that, being a big movie buff. I often get it on the first or second guess at best. but it's a really fun game as well. I could see enjoying doing the music one, you know, a Name That Tune style thing would be fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried that one, but I'm way too old for this modern music they're sampling. It's not a lot of classic stuff.
Oh, it's not the older stuff. Okay.
They need one that's like 80s Name That Tune. Right. I could do that one. Right. Right. But it's modern people. I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like a synth track.
Right.
There's some electronic drums. I don't know. Could be anyone. I have no idea.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
You're the Pepsi generation. Come and have a Pepsi day. Come on, come on, come on, and taste the Pepsi way. Come on, come on, come on, and have a Pepsi day. Wrap a thirsty smile around it. Raise a Pepsi up and down it. Come on, come on.
Before we wrap up this edition of the show, we'd like to take just a moment here to talk about the things we're currently looking at or looking forward to between now and the next time we get together. And Mo, I want to start with you. I want to know what you have on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of new stuff coming out soon as far as like second seasons or third seasons. So one is like Barry, new season that's coming out. We love that show. Russian Doll, which I didn't know they were making a second season. Did you guys watch that on Netflix? It's kind of like a Groundhog Day.
Some of it, a little bit, yeah.
I mean, it's funny because it actually takes place in a bar that was right near where I grew up. So I kind of knew the area. But the
I remember you mentioned that, yeah.
But so, I mean, I thought the first one was very entertaining. So looking forward to the second one. And the thing is, and this is weird, I'm not sure I'm really looking forward to this, but I know I'm going to go see it, is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Comes out May 4th.
Okay, well, that's unfair.
Why?
I was going to put that one on my looking forward to, but then you put it on yours as your main thing and you don't even excited about it. Come on.
It's like, I think I'm suffering from that superhero burnout, you know? And I know I'm going to go see it and I probably enjoy it, but it's just like that expectation of the next movie that we used to get back when the early days of this, you know, in Iron Man, the second one, and Avengers. I'm not getting that same level of excitement for this movie as I did before. I don't know, George, are you getting that level?
I get what you're saying. I mean, I was looking, I've been going through a retrospective, rewatching every MCU film.
Oh, wow. That's a lot now.
Wow.
I'm up to the Eternals at this point.
Oh, wow.
So last year, 2021, there were four films in the new Phase 4 section of the MCU. And that's one film every 3 months. And I think it takes away from the grandiose nature of these Marvel films when they were first coming out. When Iron Man came out, it was back-to-back with Hulk, but nobody liked Hulk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Iron Man.
Iron Man was this huge thing. And then Thor came out, and everybody was like, oh, this huge thing. And then Captain America, oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
They felt larger than life because they had more time in between, and you didn't know you were going to be getting these things. Now they're a part of everyday life.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's not just the films. The damn TV shows are kicking ass as well in a lot of cases.
It's a lot of content,
Yeah, you get 6 hours of a Marvel TV show, or six episodes rather.
Yeah.
That's two movies.
It can take a little wind out of your excitement sails. I only have so much energy to be excited. And I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Yes, yeah, I'm definitely going to go
see it. It's not like super amped. It's like, oh, that sounds fun. I'll go see it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see it when it comes out. So that's what I got. How about you, George?
Well, first up, I'm going to look forward to all the CLZ update responses that we get, because I want to see whether or not people fall on one side or the other, think I'm a jerk for bringing up the point, or however it goes. I'm looking forward to
self-important. I think that was the word they use, right?
Self-important.
Self-important.
Yeah. Self-important.
Second one is a new film. It's an animated film. I believe it's from DreamWorks. It's called The Bad Guys. It's going to come out on April 22nd. So I think like the same day or the day after we drop our episode. It's this group of animated creatures that we all think of as bad. Big Bad Wolf is in there and things of that nature.
Okay.
But it's focused on them and their lives. And because we all know that a good bad guy is the hero of his own story, that's what the preview looks like in this case.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. But with a nice DreamWorks animated family thing kind of thrown on top.
Right.
And then the thing that I'm most looking forward to that I'm pissed at Mo about again is Barry.
Oh, shit,
he already took my thunder on Dr. Strange.
Oh,
then he took my thunder on Barry and like it was an afterthought for him. It's the main thing I'm looking forward to because we've been waiting for Barry season three for 2 years?
Yeah, has it been 2 years?
It's been a while.
Been a long time. Holy cow.
I thought it was canceled.
So it was nice to see it pop back up in my Plex server, you know, that it was on its way, and I'm looking forward to it. John, are you looking to anything that is not Doctor Strange and not Barry?
It is. Well, for starters, I established last episode that I'm looking forward to Star Trek Strange New Worlds. and nobody else can have it. But yeah, it's actually coming right around the corner. May 5th, it's going to premiere on Paramount Plus. It looks so good. We talked about it last time, and I'm super excited about the kind of the return back to the more episodic, though there's some serialized to it. But just Anson Mount is such a great pike.
Yeah.
They can do no wrong. It's going to be so good. I'm just sure it's going to be great. On a personal front, I'm going on the first business trip I've been in over a year.
Oh, wow.
Finally, I'm headed out to Vegas for a couple of days. We have that trade show that's actually kind of happening in Vegas this time. And I'm going out for part of it, not all of it. But I get to go and do that.
Yeah, business trip to Vegas. That's Vegas is a good spot to go your first one.
Yeah, it's fun, right? Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
So but just travel again. I've been so pent up because I used to travel so much and now I travel none. And just to get out and do something again. And then back on the media front, man, this stupid, amazing Nicolas Cage film called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, April 22nd.
Yeah. You'll look forward to that. You're going to ruin our reputation.
It's going to be so good.
God
I'm sure
it.
It's going to be good.
The only thing that would make that worse if it had a Bigfoot puppet in it. Jesus Christ.
Now that would be great. I don't think it does.
Netflix are greenlit.
I saw a new trailer the other day and it's so self-parodying and it reminds me of, you know, like Shatner finally got over being such a jerk and decided to poke fun at himself. This is Nick Cage poking fun at the Nick Cageness of himself. I'm just excited to see what they do with it. It looks
funny. I like that it's got the Mandalorian in it. I do like that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Pascal. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I got coming up. A lot of stuff on the horizon is going to fill up our next few shows.
Oh,
Damn sure be sure you're going to hear me talking about some Star Trek Strange New World and probably some Barry based on what I've just heard as well. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. Before we leave, I'd like to take just a second, of course, to mention a brand new patron that we got, Marcus B.
Ooh,
A new Marcus. Just joined us at that $5 level.
Nice,
Marcus has been listening for a long time. He mails and messages periodically. He's been a long time listener and a long time friend of mine, actually. And he finally decided, you know what? I guess I won't just call you. I'll actually put my money where my mouth is and show you how much I appreciate this
show.
That's
awesome.
So thank you, Marcus. We so much appreciate you and everyone who supports us financially, whether it be on Patreon or over on YouTube. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. Of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a regular edition. But next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. It's just about that time of year. Star Wars Day is around the corner, and we are going to focus on the movie that started it all, Star Wars, A New Hope.
Or just Star Wars.
Or just Star Wars, depending on where you stand, what it said when you saw it the first time. Look, nobody needs to be told what Star Wars is, but we're focusing on the first film and what it did to media, what it did to film, did to the landscape of science fiction, and just everything that impacted such a landmark film, especially for Gen Xers, and that's going to be the focus of our backtrack. You don't want to miss that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
And fourth listener, it's you we all appreciate most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
You know, you're playing it, you're like, wow, I kind of, you know, I feel very nostalgic about it, which luckily we have a backtrack coming up about that, so that helped me. You know,
oh, well, just
right
spoil
it.
The surprise. Jesus.
Yeah, you can cut that out later. But we'll cut that out in post.
They'll only hear it if they listen to the bloopers. Otherwise, they won't hear
exactly.
It.
Exactly. And if they listen to bloopers, they listen to the entire thing anyway, so they know.
There, you win.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.